Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's good to have you with us today for another in the series of Read the Word. And we're so glad to have you join with us on a daily basis, on an almost daily basis in the last week. But join with us, man. This is so good. We are on day number, what is today? Day number 326. 40 days left in this year. We got a problem here. Don't worry about it. I got it all under control. I just got to, I'm going to have another napkin though. Because, there we go. Thank you. Don't mind that across the mic. All right. It'll be all right. There we go. Now, today, and I want to get started right away. Today we got the whole book of James. Now, what's interesting about this is the book of James was written at this point in the book of Acts, which is Acts chapter 15. Now, let's talk about the book of James for a little bit. Wait, hold your Bible up. You ready? Here we go. Let's do it quick. Say, I believe what this Bible says.
I believe what this Bible says.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
We ain't waiting around today because we got lots to do. Now, the book of James is written. Many people, the Apostle Paul called him the Lord's brother. All right? And it was written in about 49 A.D. Many people, many scholars believe it was the first of the epistles that were written. And, you know, if we can mark this at 49 A.D., then we can mark the book of Acts proportionally to how many years it was before the Apostle Paul came. Apostle Paul himself said he went 17 years after his conversion because he had 3 years in the wilderness with Jesus, and he had another 14 years before he went up to Jerusalem and began to teach the word. Why? God had to rework Saul of Tarsus till he could turn him into Paul, the apostle. Now, what is the purpose of the book of James? To challenge you and I as believers to have real religion and real faith. The whole book, the just will live by faith, but he wants you to have a real relationship with God and then have mountain-moving faith. That's what James is teaching because we get to the end. James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, Elijah was a man just like you and me. He prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and then it did rain. And Jezebel, Ahab were in trouble. Hold on just a second. Huh. Well, isn't that something?
Is it
couple? No, it's just two people. The cup, the top, lead. It's all right. It'll be okay. Cup top leaks being that full right down the front of it. But I have a dark shirt on and you can't see. So here we go, James chapter 5. Everybody jump in. I'll sip this coffee a little at a time. Don't worry about it. Don't freak out. Most of all, remember what we're started out this year with? The majestic word of God. And we said at the very beginning, and it's been that way all the way through, you're going to see how the Bible correlates Genesis to Revelation, every book in between, the Psalms, the Proverbs, the poetry, the major prophets, the minor prophets, the history, the judges, the law, the Gospels, the epistles, the penitent. It is so interconnected. No, nothing else in the whole world could do it. What you and I realize is that holy men of God wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So even though this is James writing it, this is God speaking by the Holy Spirit writing it. James is the scribe. Amen?
Amen.
So you want to say it? Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I receive the word of God today.
The word of God today.
And my cup of coffee. James chapter 1. James, unservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is to whom he's writing. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Well, when the persecution came, they all scattered. All right? Greetings. I like how they started their letters. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Have you met anybody lately that is resisting the patience that the trial is giving them? Let's try it again. Have you met yourself in the mirror lately knowing that you've been resisting the patience that the trial was bringing you? Everybody signify by raising the right hand. Hey, we've all been there because it's like, wait, I can see that promise. Why is that promise not happening in my life? But the reason it's not is God's got to get something up and out of you. And the only way is life. We are not doing very good because it's now taking me 6 minutes to get to three verses. Verse 4, let patience have its perfect work. We'll spend the rest of the night right here. That you may be perfect. Now, all these people that say you can't be perfect, what do you do with that verse? That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, that sounds like perfect. That doesn't mean you're not ever going to stub your toe or bump your head. It means in your relationship with God, you get to be perfect because your spirit man, who you are, is in perfect connection with God Almighty. And the only challenge any of us face, really, is we got to get the soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions in order, and our body. I have never realized how much my body revolted against the will of God until the last 3-4 months as I've been fasting. And I realized my body's given me fits my whole life. I've always been young and strong, and I never worried too much about it. I've always been healthy. But it's time to start looking that body in the eye and say, body, you're my servant. Quit giving me any trouble. We're doing real good. I hope you're enjoying it. Verse 4, 8 minutes all the way to verse 4. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, there's no question about whether or not you're going to get the wisdom. Did you notice that? It will be given to him. You got to ask, and then you got to receive the wisdom that he's given. 6, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Now, I want to straighten this out for a lot of people. When you're working out your salvation, growing in God, that's not double-minded. That's working out your salvation. You're reaching for something. You're growing. You're developing. That's not double-mindedness. Double-mindedness is, do I want to be in God or don't I? Do I want to do what's right or don't I? That is what is double-minded. And I'm going to tell you, that is not you and I. You and I are saying, Jesus, take us in farther, deeper, stronger, better, greater than we've ever been. Can I get an amen from at least my wife?
Amen.
We made it all the way to verse 9. Verse 9 through 18 doesn't have quite the same level of revelation as the first 8 verses did. We'll make it better. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. Because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. No sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuit. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved. That means we've got to be approved. When he has been approved, guess what? I can't approve you. I mean, as much as I want to approve my wife, I can't even approve her. She's got to approve herself to God. And if she don't get to approving herself, we're going to have no. He will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Thank goodness I just get a revelation. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation and there is no shadow. All light. No shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now look at this. You want to hear my revelation? This is powerful. Look at verse 13 and 14. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Well, then who's tempting us? So what's it say? Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. But wait, I thought she was a new creation. So guess what? When you're drawn away and enticed by that which you used to be, it's nothing more than a fiery dart. And you have to say, I am a new creation. That old stuff has passed away, and all things have become new. I now have the very nature of Christ living on the inside of me. Jesus said, how do you lose the word? The enemy comes to steal the word by fiery darts. And you have a shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation. Shoes that are shod. I've gone to preaching and I've really got to get through 5 chapters. How am I going to do this? You're going to have to read in a minute. 19. So then, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. I love that. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man, don't look away, observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what he saw when he looked in the mirror. And what did you see when you looked in the mirror? The righteousness of God. If you forget the righteousness of God, you'll forget who you are, and you'll start thinking that those fiery darts are actually you, when they're not, because you've been made a new creation. Pray for Sister Leanne. I'm going to be preaching this all night long while she's trying to sleep right here in the hotel room. 25. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what and all that he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, oh my goodness, but deceives his own heart, how? Because you don't bridle your own tongue. This one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their infirmity, in their weakness, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. James chapter 2. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Wow. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? You know what makes them rich in faith? Because they don't have anything else but faith to function in. Because they're poor. So many times they see many more miracles than the rich man sees. Because it's too easy for the rich man to function in his money. Mm-hmm. And rather than in faith. Think about the woman whose daughter was, she came from a faraway nation and said, my daughter is demon possessed and she's still at home. I don't even believe you have to go to my house, Jesus. And Jesus said, you're a dog. She said, I don't care. I get crumbs. A little dog gets crumbs. And Jesus is like, I ain't never seen faith like that. And when that young lady was not where she was, that lady's faith, I've not seen faith like this. Your daughter, all the way home where she is, with neither of us standing there, is made whole right now. Wow. Why? Because the woman said, no, I know who you are. And I stand in that. And it might be all I have left is my faith, but I stand in that faith. My goodness sakes, we're preaching tonight. You got to love the book of James. 6, but you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. If you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Wow. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble at one point, he's guilty of it all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you've become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Oh, it's a law. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let's read it again. Judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he does not have works? Can faith save him alone? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. See, many people say that Paul and James are in opposition to each other, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Not in any sense of the word. 19. You believe that there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and crumble. Believing that there's one God isn't the answer. The demons believe there's one God. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in verse 22:20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect? He still had to raise the knife for the angel to say, Abraham! And there's probably one there holding his hand so he didn't just slip and kill his son. 23. The scripture was fulfilled that Abraham believes God, and it was, and he was called the friend of God. That's why Jesus looked at the scribes and Pharisees and said, if you were of your father Abraham, you wouldn't be trying to kill me, because I was just talking to Abraham 30 years ago and he wasn't trying to kill me. And they're like, you see that a man is justified by works, not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? That wasn't just faith. That was putting action to faith, saying, I'll put the straw on top of you. All y'all hold still. You understand me now? When they go away, I'll tell you when to leave. Chapter 3. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn the whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Wow, man, look at that verse. The tongue is a fire. It is a world of iniquity. Man, you can go to hell by your tongue. Stop letting your tongue just flap. Quit saying I'm an old crotchety person. I get to say whatever I want. No, you don't. Have it. Look up. If your tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, you will not go to heaven no matter how many days you've gone to church, because you can't live in a world of iniquity. Hey, look what it says. A world of iniquity and make it to heaven. There's going to be a lot of shocked people on the day of the rapture, because they're going to be like, how am I sitting here? And the angel is going to stand in front of them going, dude, I've been talking to you about your tongue your whole life and you won't control it. Verse 6. We're getting there. Just stick with me. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. Wow. And sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Every kind of beast and bird or reptile, creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. No natural man can tame his tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. You know, if some people that was their greatest sin in youth, in childhood, youth in their 20s, and they may have been born again, but they never beat their tongue, and so they're not even in God. They're religious, they go to church, but because they do not tame their tongue, they're not even in God. They're living in a world of iniquity, and their tongue is destroying everybody around them.
And themselves.
Oh my goodness. I'm in 3:11. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Just so everybody knows how to do this, I just pause right now and say to my wife, please forgive me for having salt water and fresh have come out of my mouth, tried to at the same time, and if I've never repented, I do right now. Wait, everybody should do that. Do it immediately with your mate. I mean, like, do it. Wait, this is how fast, when you see the word of God saying something, this is how fast you repent. She's sitting right across the table from me right now. Why would I wait another half an hour and forget? Ain't going to do it. What, I shouldn't humble myself in front of all of you? No, that's your pride of your flesh trying to say, don't do that. People might say something. Who cares what you say? What if Jesus came right then? What if Jesus came? I'm in 3:13. We're making it. Who is a wise understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Look at this verse. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. Bitter envy and self-seeking. They're not you. You're a new creation. They may have been you in the past, but that's a fiery dart. Don't let it stick.
Amen.
15. This wisdom does not descend from above. It is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, wow, confusion and every evil thing are there. Envy and self-seeking. There's a lot of marriages where one person is humble and the other is self-seeking. And it makes for a mess. And if all y'all's the one that's self-seeking, get it right. 16. Where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. The wisdom that's from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now wait, you got to remember this. If you're a peacemaker, that means you just came into a situation where there is no peace, and you are making peace where there was none. Guess what that means? That one's violent, and that one's violent, And you and I are going to come right in the middle and say, you shut up and you shut up and you sit down here and listen, and we're going to make peace in this situation. And sometimes being a peacemaker, you want to knock their heads together, as my mom would say. I remember hearing a great preacher one day say, can you work with the rich and not hate the poor? Can you work with the poor and not hate the rich? Work with a disenfranchised group of people and not hate the people that is disenfranchising them. Can we stand against abortion and yet allow the abortionists to get born again? That's a big question right there. And I am speaking by the Holy Spirit, because Sam Cottle ain't quite this good. But it's all right. Chapter 4, and we're making it. We've only got 37 more verses to go. We'll get it done. Chapter 4, pride promotes strife. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Now wait, he's talking to Christians. How does a Christian murder? It's called character assassination. You may not kill with a pistol or a knife. Your words assassinate their character. And God, by the Holy Spirit, calls it murder. Wow. Verse 2, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasure. Adulterers and adulteresses, he's not even talking about people sleeping with somebody that isn't theirs. He's talking about spiritual adultery. This book is to the church, not the sinners. Do you not know that friendship with the world is an enemy with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Do you think the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. That's what I want. Therefore, he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. Draw near to God. Rewards those who diligently seek him. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. David said, early in the morning will I rise up and seek you. Why? Because the world is quiet, and when you go early in the morning, he's going to draw near to you as you draw near to him. Verse 8, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. If you go around saying, God, would you please humble me? I guarantee you what's going to happen. God's not going to humble you. The devil's going to humiliate you. Because God can't humble you. You have to humble yourself. God will not make you do anything. If you want a greater walk with God, you've got to consecrate yourself at a greater level to get it. Verse 11, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? And if you go to Romans chapter 14, Paul says, who are you to judge another man's servant? So he's saying, Stop judging that other person, because how do you judge another man's servant? So that man, to his master, he'll rise and fall on himself. I hear people say all the time, yeah, but you know what so-and-so did to me, and you know they're still doing it. You don't know that. How do you know what somebody else is doing unless you're following them around? And what in the world are you following them around for? I was talking with a great believer the other day, and they said, you know what, I just finally come to the point where if you don't want to be around me, that's fine. See you later. Go find somebody to be around. I got too much to get done for God to mess around with somebody that doesn't want to be with me. And I'm certainly not going to be offended at it. Amen. I think I'm actually doing pretty good for going through 4 chapters of the book of James in only 36 minutes. That's really good. Verse 10. It's a good shot. Put the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Wow. Chapter 5, here we are. Come now, you rich. Weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Remember what we received? The garment of salvation, the robe of righteousness, and what did he just say? Your garment of salvation is moth-eaten. Why? Because you put your trust in money. God doesn't have a problem if you have money, even billion-dollar money. Has a problem when you put your trust in that money. Your gold and silver are eroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You need treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out against you. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord Sabaoth. That is Jesus, the captain of the host of heaven. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Verse 7. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. That's 2,000 years ago. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge, notice that judge is capitalized, is standing at the door. That's not you or I or the church board. That's Jesus. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And how much more did Job have at the end? 10 times more. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. But let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into judgment. 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him, the man who is sick, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, not the prayer of, oh, Lord, bless him, the prayer of faith, mountain, move, sickness, leave, life, come. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be trespassing to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And it says, is dynamic in its working. The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man are a dynamo, creating their own spiritual force within themselves. That's what a dynamo does. And once you get it started, it creates its own energy. 16. Nope, 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. You'll find that story in 1 Kings 17 and 18. 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. Verse 19, James 5:19. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns the sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And the book of Proverbs says, love covers a multitude of sins. Check out Proverbs 10:12 and see what that says if you will. Now, I just did the whole book of James in 43 minutes and 20 seconds. Are you serious? Like Paul Bagley. Are you serious? Yeah, I did. You ought to study it with me, Paul. Maybe you like it. Put it on your channel.
Well, this hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins.
But love covers the multitude of sins. Wow. I think we need to read the book of James about once every 6 weeks, don't we? Pastor, how are you going to circle the wagons on this one? It's real simple. If you think your religion is anything and you don't bridle your tongue, you are deceiving yourself. And the Bible, God's holy word by the Holy Spirit, says you're living in a world of iniquity. And that's a scary place to be. Lament, mourn, weep. What was he saying? Fast. Pastor, when I fast, I get sick. Yeah, that's your body revolting against you. When you fast and you get a headache, you get sick, whatever, that is telling you the fasting is working. Because you got to get this body to shut up. Because it'll tell you, you got the right to talk about that person, because don't you realize what they did to you? No, you don't. That is character assassination. Shut your mouth. What they used to say down south, shut your face, boy. Shut your face. It ain't worth it. Keep yourself walking with God. And here's the reality. If you'll look in the mirror, it's right here in the book of James. If you'll look in the mirror of God's word and see yourself in that book, not another person. Now, as a pastor, I'm going to preach it to everybody, but I'm going to preach it faceless. Does that make sense saying it that way? I'm not going to have somebody's face in my mind when I'm preaching. Because I got to teach it to all of us. But when it's all done, I got to open this book and look at myself. That's why, right during this program, I looked at Leanne and said, please forgive me. I have been salty and sugary out of the same mouth in one day, and that's been wrong. I know I've already apologized to her 1,000 times for it, but guess what? I'm going to do it one more time, and I'm going to show you how to do it. Not out of pride, out of humbleness. Why? Because I don't ever want my words out of my mouth to be offensive to my wife. Pastor, what if they deserve it? Well, guess what? Then you deserve the same hell they're going to because you're holding it against them. Jesus said, when you judge them, you're guilty of the same thing. Wow. Can we say amen yet? She said it. Thank you, Sunday. Now, I see we got 4 listeners on YouTube with us. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad to have you with us. And remember, there's a YouTube playlist where all of these videos from Genesis all the way through the whole Bible are in one playlist on YouTube under my name. Search my name, Samuel J. Cottle. And then search, read the word, and it'll take you right to this playlist. Now listen to me. When you get to that playlist, you're going to notice there's a little bar on this side of the screen that says play all. On this side of the screen, you're going to see a little box with a plus in it. Click the plus. What's that do, Pastor? That adds that playlist into your YouTube channel that you have, because if you're watching us on YouTube, you got to have your own channel. Now you just added that playlist to your YouTube channel, and when you go to your library, which is down here on the bottom of your phone screen, it'll say library over in this corner. Where's my phone? But using your hand, you have a phone. Hurry up, phone. There, down in this corner down here, it's going to say library. When you click on that word library, you're going to open it up and see how it says playlist right there. You will have added the read the word playlist, and you'll be able to scroll right down through there. And of course, mine is clear down in the R's, and I got about 87 playlists, but I like it that way. And you'll see there's a playlist there that says read the word. And then it'll be right there. You don't have to go looking for it. Go to library and you'll see that playlist and you'll be able to play it. Now, just listen. I've been telling you to go listen and start in Genesis and come through. And last week in the truck, I finally got myself to a point in my new job that I was able to turn it on and begin to listen to it myself at night. I'm driving. And I got all the way to the flood in one night. And it's like, whoa, listen to this revelation that's in this. It's like Andrew Womack said that one time. I sat down and watched myself on TV just to see how good I was doing, and I got a revelation from myself. You're arrogant. I'm looking at it, judging myself like ain't nobody else can judge me. I can't believe you just said those 3 words over and over. Stop it. But it's already recorded. So anyways, I encourage you to listen to it. And you know what? If you've got a relative who considers themselves an agnostic, say, hey, listen to this guy. He's not going to ask you for money. He's not going to ask you to join the church. He's going to teach you the Bible. And most of all, we're just going to read it. Because you're not going to be able to get through Genesis without coming face to face with Almighty God. Let's pray the prayer of salvation, and we'll be done. I know it's a little longer, but, I mean, we had about 75 verses to read tonight, so we did pretty good. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I need you in my life every day.
I need you. I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you.
And I thank you for it.
Now here's your place to make a bold statement. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And the only begotten Son of God.
The only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day.
And you rose again on the third
and
day.
And are seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high.
And are seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your
mercy. All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your
filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word
pray
of God.
In my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and
language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful
as
life.
A believer every day.
As a believer every day.
Pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Now, Pastor, what just happened in my life? Jesus just came and filled your whole being. You didn't walk an aisle. You didn't shake a preacher's hand. You didn't join a church. You didn't get a denomination. God Almighty just came and made his abode on the inside of you. And that connection, perfect connection between you and God that was broken when Adam sinned, has now been made perfect for eternity. No one can snatch you from the Father's hand. Jesus, the light of the world, just filled you. That's why you feel light. You're experiencing light. Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, just came to live within you. Yep. And now, faith is in here. It's not way out there in the sky somewhere trying to get through your thick skull. He is in here. He, faith, is in here. Leading you from the inside out. Pastor, what do? Get your Bible. I recommend you get this one. It costs you a little bit of money, but you'll be glad you did. It's got some of the greatest Bible studies tools you'll ever find right here. And there's no commentary in it. It's just teaching you how to use the Bible to study the Bible. It's an amazing Bible. Thompson Chain Reference Bible. Just rewind the video. And you'll be able to find it. Go back to minute number 53, and you'll find that picture. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell, and stick with us. And if you stick here for the next 6 weeks, you won't even know yourself as the same person if you come and apply yourself to the things of God. And we'll help you walk with God. We literally have been on the air almost every single day since the pandemic began in March 23rd of 2020. So there's 1,000 videos out there we can help you have and learn the Word of God. We'll be glad to do it. Send me an email. Tell me your story. Ask me 1,000 questions. It's good. It doesn't matter how many times they're asked. Ask them again. We'll be glad to help you walk with God. This is usually ready every night unless we're somewhere on the road where there's no signal. This is usually ready every night at about midnight, and we've got 40 days left in this year. And wow, 2022 will be in the history books, and we're going into 2023 wide open, seeing exactly what God's going to do in our life in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you tomorrow morning, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Seriously, email me. How many times does a preacher say, email me? My email address is right down there. And we can answer a lot of emails. We like it. See you soon. May God richly bless you. In the final days of your Thanksgiving celebration, eat lots of turkey, pumpkin pie. Go to Walmart and get you a key lime pie. Hallelujah. See you soon. Hey, Sunday and Rebecca, you're still with us. That's awesome.